Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word which we receive this morning is from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimony. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your word, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I was lost in the woods once. Well, I say woods, more like a patch of trees in the, middle of a suburb. But in any case, I took my sister's kids to the playground. In order to get there, you had to go on a path that kind of wound through the woods. And they were playing for a while, and it was getting dark, and I said we should go back home. But I could not find the path back through the woods. We kept ending up just right back at the playground, and Ethan especially was getting pretty scared and upset. This was many years ago. Ethan's a grown man now. He wouldn't get as scared, I don't think, about that. But many years ago he was, and so I finally had to call my sister, and she drove around on the roads. Without God, our life in this world can feel just as confusing. We can very easily get lost in the woods, unable to find our way through. Very often we feel like we keep ending up back in the same place, no matter how hard we try, making the same mistakes, rehearsing the same sins. This is why the psalmist in our psalm this morning prays that the Lord would reveal his path. Not any path is going to lead us through. The psalmist prays that the Lord would show us the way, light the way before us so that we can find his path through the woods. This is a prayer that is repeated over and over again in the Psalms. That the word of the Lord is a light to our feet, that he would show us his way. The very first psalm is a discussion of the two paths, the way of the righteous and the way of the unrighteous. And it's a prayer that certainly should be a part of our daily lives, that God would light the way before us so that we may walk in his path. But what do we mean? What does the psalmist mean? What are we praying for? And what is it that the Lord is promising to do when he shows us his path? The first and most obvious answer, and the one we probably think of, and probably the only one we think of, is that we might better know his law, so that we might do what is right and not do what is good. That's probably what we normally think of when we think of the Lord showing us his path. But it's clear that the psalmist has something much deeper and much better than simply a better understanding of God's law in mind in our psalm. To know the path of the Lord is to know his law, to know what is right and what is wrong, but it's also more than that. It's also to walk with him and know his love. And it's also a prayer to know and understand the path he has set before us in this life. And so this morning we consider knowing the path of the Lord, his law, his love, and his plan for our life. First and most obvious, what the psalmist means is that the Lord would teach us right from wrong, what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. We see in verse 9 of our text, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. We're not going to make it to heaven by following the law of the Lord. We know that salvation is freely given to us through Jesus Christ, and keeping his law better or worse isn't going to enable us to get to heaven on our own. But the psalmist understands and confesses that when we keep God's law, we are saved from shame. And when we ignore God's law and sin, we are ashamed, or we should be ashamed, within ourselves, before one another, and we certainly have received shame before God. That's why a big part of this psalm that the psalmist writes in verse 2 is, "Let me not be ashamed. Teach me your law so I don't have to be ashamed of myself and I don't have to be ashamed before one another." We think of the very first sin. We think all the way back to Adam and Eve and what happened to them when they ate the apple or the fruit. Sorry, we don't know it's an apple. Habits of a kid, right? The fruit in the Garden of Eden. They were immediately filled with shame and hid themselves from God. And when God came walking in the cool of the evening, a thing which God did every evening and which usually filled them with joy as they got to go out and walk with God, instead of being filled with joy to walk with God, they hid from him. We see right there what sin does to us. When we fail to walk in God's path and follow his law, it fills us with shame and it destroys our relationships. And then all too often we try to cover our sin with more sin, as Adam and Eve did. And we are filled with more shame. And we try and cover that with greater sins, lying and stealing and doing other things to try and hide of our shame. And it's this guilt cycle that infests our lives. There's only one way to break that cycle, isn't there? That is to confess our sin before God and trust in his mercy and his grace, knowing that we are forgiven through Jesus Christ, and instead of trying to hide our shame from God and one another, we confess our trespasses to God and to one another and are cleansed by Jesus Christ. And then we pray, as the psalmist does, that we might better know his way to avoid such shame in the future. We trust in God's forgiveness, and we learn more about his love. And that's the second point we're going to discuss this morning, isn't it? The path of the Lord isn't just the path that the Lord wants us to walk. The path of the Lord could also be the path that God himself walks. And therefore, knowing the path of the Lord is to know the Lord. Knowing the path of the Lord is to walk with God, as the Emmaus disciples did and as Enoch did. And what do we learn? What do we see when God reveals his path to us? We see his mercy and his truth, as the psalmist confesses in verse 6, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness." To know the way of the Lord is a prayer to know the Lord better and to better know his mercy and his tender kindness. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses prayed to God that the Lord might make known to me your way so that I might better know you. And the Lord responds by promising Moses that he will show him all my goodness will pass before you. To learn the path of the Lord is not only to know his law, but even more so, it is to know the path that Jesus took to Jerusalem. We didn't talk about this in depth last Sunday, but that's kind of stressed if you look back. In last Sunday's bulletin, in our text from last Sunday, Luke stresses the journeying of Jesus, that he had set his face to Jerusalem and he was journeying to Jerusalem. The path that Jesus took to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the grave, and out again of the grave, the resurrection through which we also are raised from the dead. The path of the Lord is the path of his goodness. And the psalmist stressed this in verse 10. If you look at verse 10 of our text, it's a beautiful confession here. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Think about that for a second. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. There are many paths of the Lord. There are many things, that is, that the Lord does, which we easily recognize as mercy and truth. We recognize God's mercy when Jesus dies for our sins. We recognize God's mercy when he forgives our sins. We recognize God's mercy when he gives us every good thing and blesses us abundantly and gives us health and things like that. But there are other paths of the Lord which do not look to us like loving kindness and mercy. Examples would be what happened to Job. Certainly is one example of a path of the Lord that doesn't look like mercy and truth to us. In our own lives also, there are times when we suffer, when a loved one dies, maybe when God punishes the wicked, when terrible things happen in this life, when natural disasters occur, and we could go on, you could fill out that list yourself. But the psalmist confesses, by faith, the psalmist confesses that those paths too, even though they might not look like mercy and truth to us, he says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. By faith, we know that these things also are an expression of God's goodness and mercy, even if we don't understand how. We believe and confess that these things also are his mercy and truth because we see Jesus who died for our sins. And if God did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him also give us every good thing? And so even when we don't understand it, we confess with the psalmist that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And we ask that the Lord might reveal that more to us, that he might show us his way, his path, that we might better understand this central truth. Finally, to be shown the path of the Lord could also mean that the Lord would reveal to us more fully his plan for us, what he has in store for us in the days to come. Monday, after a football game, you can go online and you can watch a highlights reel, right? Showing you all the major plays of the game from the day before. We might wish that God would give us such a highlights reel of our life. Sometimes we might wish that, but of course God doesn't do that. God doesn't give us a play-by-play. He doesn't tell us every bend in the road that he has planned for us, but he does give us many promises, and he does tell us where the path ends. He promises that he will be with us and that he will bring us to our heavenly home. The psalmist also talked about this in our text, verse 3. He said, no one who waits on you shall be ashamed. He's confessing, I don't understand the path you have laid out for me, but I know what its end will be. Verse 5, you are the God of my salvation. The tone of the psalm suggests that the psalmist is suffering at the moment. He is going through something he doesn't understand, and he is praying for understanding. He is praying the Lord to reveal when this suffering will end and how the Lord will bring him out of it. Let me know the path you have planned for me and the reason for this suffering. But although he doesn't know the immediate future, he puts his trust and his confidence in the promise of salvation that the Lord has given to us. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Genesis 50:20. Remember, this is what was confessed after his brothers threw him into prison, and Joseph confronts them once again, and he says to them, all this evil, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people. We don't always know what waits for us around the bend. We almost never know what waits for us around the bend, or even tomorrow. We might think we know how tomorrow's going to go, but often it doesn't go the way we plan, does it? We don't know what's waiting for us around the bend, but we know where the path ends. As David confesses, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's easy in this life to get lost in the woods. It's kind of a little bit of shaming that I got lost in such a little woods that one time. And similarly, in this life, we might often feel a little confused and ashamed of how easily we also can get lost. But Jesus has revealed to us the path through. Not every twist and turn, not what's coming up around the bend, but the end and the salvation that waits for us. We know that He is the path, and when we walk in His commandments, we know that we will not be put to shame. We know His goodness and mercy, and the path that we walk with Him is one filled with His loving kindness for us. And we know that the path ends not in death, but in life and salvation with Him through His mercy. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.